From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. A mountain lion shot near Marengo by a deer hunter in December marked the first confirmed sighting of the big cat in Iowa in more than 5 years. This hour, we'll talk mountain lions with Ron Andrews and Joe Wilkinson of the DNR. They'll tell us the story of how Iowa mountain lions were killed off by pioneers, why they've returned, and the question of whether they should be protected. Have you seen a mountain lion in Iowa? Do you think they should be protected? Our discussion starts right after this news update. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. A few weeks ago, a deer hunter spotted a mountain lion up in a tree about 4 miles outside of the Iowa town of Marengo. That's west of Iowa City. After consulting with his fellow hunters and with the landowner, the hunter shot the lion and killed it. It marked the first confirmed sighting of a mountain lion in Iowa in more than 5 years. So this hour, we want to discuss a number of questions that this incident raises. Are mountain lions native to Iowa? Why are they returning? Should they be protected? Just a few of the questions we'll look at this hour. Joining me, Ron Andrews. He's with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. He's a research biologist joining us by phone from somewhere on the road in Iowa. Hello, Ron.
Hey, good to see you.
Good to have you with us on the show. Joining us as well, Joe Wilkinson. He is also with the DNR, and he joins us in the studio of Iowa Public Radio in Iowa City. He's an information specialist with the DNR. Hi, Joe.
Good afternoon.
We also want to have input from our listeners because all of our listeners have eyes and possibly have thought they've seen mountain lions in Iowa. If you think you have, hikers, hunters, farmers, tell us about it. Or also on the question, should they be protected? Let us know your opinion, 1-866-780-9100. Or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Joe Wilkinson, please, let's start off with you. We want to note that we invited the hunter in question, Raymond Goebel, to join our conversation today. He did not respond to that request. So tell us the story of how this Iowa deer hunter, Ray Goebel, came to spot and shoot a mountain lion outside of Marengo this past December.
Well, he was with a group of hunters. He was sitting at the time, waiting for perhaps a push or a drive to push deer by him. Looked over, saw what he finally figured out was a mountain lion on a branch of a tree, 60, 70 yards away, something like that. And again, as you mentioned, went through a couple steps, found out that it was not illegal to shoot it, that the landowner had gave him the okay to go ahead if he wanted to and chose to take the shot.
So when I would think he could scarcely believe his eyes when he saw it.
Yeah, didn't understand. He had heard the stories that there is one here, there is one there, but was pretty surprised to see it. And, that's why he was kind of checking with another hunter. Hey, what should I do?
And it's quite high up in the tree.
I'm not sure how high up it was. I know it was up in a tree, so, big enough to be seen, so probably at least 20 feet off the ground or so.
So he checked with his fellow hunters. He checked with the landowners wanting to find out if it's legal.
If it was okay for the landowner for him to, he was there to hunt deer. And there was nothing in the agreement about, can I shoot a mountain lion if I see one? So he, I guess, just wanted to make sure that it was okay with everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. This might seem like a silly question for a hunter, but for others, perhaps not. Why did he want to shoot the lion?
Well, that's, the question that it's – that's where a lot of the controversy has come down on one side or the other. One camp says that you should be able to shoot them. They could be a danger, a threat to livestock, to small children, pets, things like that. The other side would say it wasn't doing anything. He wasn't there specifically out after that mountain lion. Why shoot it in the first place? And that's really where a lot of the editorial comments have fallen, and there have been just hundreds of them the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm. So what legal status does a mountain lion have in Iowa?
It really has no legal status in the state of Iowa. When fish and game laws were put into effect in around the 19-teens or 1920s by Iowa legislators, mountain lions and black bears were no longer in the state. They are native animals to Iowa. They were no longer in the state, so they were not even considered when the legislature and the lawmakers set the seasons for pheasants and rabbits and waterfowl and everything else. So as far as the fish and game laws are concerned, they don't exist.
Okay. What is your understanding of why Mr. Goble may not be very interested in talking to the press about this anymore?
Well, you know, and to be fair to Raymond, I tried to contact him a couple times. He is an iron worker. I don't know if he is working out of town and just hasn't gotten back to us the last couple of days. But I did talk with him a couple weeks ago. He called with a question, talked with him a little bit, and we just kind of, you know, talked, hey, you're 15 minutes of fame about up now? And he kind of laughed. He goes, yeah, had I known that, I might not have, you know, told, you know, basically he was kind of not so much second-guessing what he did, but wondering why all the fallout, you know, why all the controversy. There were just a couple of the media in Cedar Rapids had hundreds of comments on their blogs, and he's gotten—
On both sides of the issue.
On both sides.
Why shoot such a beautiful creature, or such a rare and beautiful creature, mm-hmm. and the others, why not?
Yeah, and he had been clipping a lot of the letters to the editor because, I mean, he's interested. This is, you know, this was happening. They were talking about him and his incident. And he said it came down pretty much from what he could see and hear and read that it was coming down about 50-50 on either side.
Let's go to Ron Andrews, DNR research biologist. What can you tell us, Ron, about this particular mountain lion that was shot near Marengo?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of tracking of this animal until it just shows up there and was shot there at Marengo. We get reports and have had reports scattered throughout the states of Iowa, various counties, practically every county has had a few. There was some reports of mountain lion presence, no documented evidence, though, at the Meskwaki Indian settlement there near Tama. So that's not so far away. That was earlier in the summer when that took place. I went down and investigated, could not find any sign of any mountain lion presence, but that doesn't mean that there wasn't something there. That time of the year, it's very difficult to see sign.
Mm-hmm. But what about, I mean, this particular lion, have you had a chance to examine it, its carcass?
We have. I got the carcass materials up there at Clear Lake, and we looked at the stomach. The stomach actually was empty. There wasn't anything in the stomach. That's kind of an interesting fact. So we would have anticipated maybe some mice or rabbits, that sort of thing. We do have a small tooth, which we have not detected yet. By that, I mean taking a slice of the tooth, putting it under the microscope and counting the annuli, like the annuli on a tree. It ages the animal. Kind of second-guessing a little bit, but I suspect it's 2 to 3 years old.
A male.
Yeah, male, for mm-hmm. sure. We will do some DNA testing, too. We have not completed that yet.
Mm-hmm. Do we know where it came from? Was it possibly even born in Iowa?
No, I would say not born in Iowa based on the experience to date, at least. We first started getting our first reports right after the 2000s began, and all of those reports, all of them have been reproductively immature males, which is kind of what one would expect to. So I suspect it's dispersed in out of the West somewhere.
So your best guess is, as in the cat family, that typically males will have to leave a pride and forage for a new territory. And so this was the lions that we've seen in Iowa are doing just that, young males in search of a new territory to begin.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would say, that there's a social hierarchy out there, and the dominant male has a harem of females. And, you know, as the urge takes place, as these animals get close to reproductive maturity, they try to horn in on, I guess, that territory, so to speak. They usually lose the battle. They sort of turn tail and begin dispersing, become nomads of the landscape. And I say right now, at least they're looking for love in all the wrong places because there's no females out there.
You do a lot of research on all the fur-bearing animals in Iowa, but also the mountain lion. Can you give us an idea of a mountain lion's perspective living in Iowa? How does it get by? How does it hunt? Make sure it's beware of, and how does it keep out of sight?
Well, their cats in general, at least of the wild nature, are elusive, so I think they have ways to, you know, going into concealed cover and basically keeping out of sight in that respect. And of course, in the summertime, we get a mass of a field of corn out there in the entire state, and they can obviously move through that without being seen. These animals basically are mammal feeders, although like any predator, if they're hungry and a bird presents itself, they will take that turkey or whatever might be out there. We've had some reports of livestock interaction, you know, some injuries to horses, concerns about what might be the impact on livestock. We've not been able to document any attacks on Iowa livestock, but obviously, you know, there's some that may be occurring out there that we don't get to either. So it's an intriguing situation. Little did I believe when I began working for the agency 43 years ago that I'd ever be talking about mountain lions in Iowa. So it's kind of fascinating.
If you have perhaps thought you saw a mountain lion in Iowa, let us know. Tell us your story. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Let's take a quick call before we have a short break. Catherine is joining us from, is it Messina?
That's right. Messina is a tiny little town in southwest Iowa.
Very good, Catherine. Thanks for calling up. Have you seen a mountain lion?
Yes, actually. I really am so intrigued with this show, and I'm really excited to share the story. About 15 years ago, I think it would have been 1995, I lived in an old 1950s Airstream-type camper, and it was south of Iowa City, actually south of Lone Tree on the Tri-County Bridge. And I had kind of a neat little area. It was on a little peninsula. And it was actually in the evening, and I was listening to some Linda Ronstadt music, of all things, and just really enjoying my time in nature. And all of a sudden, I saw this mountain lion, and it came right up to the camper.
So there was no question. It wasn't like off several hundred feet in the bush. It was right there in front of you.
It was right there in front of me, and my first reaction, you know, as somebody who maybe should be afraid, but I'm thinking I should not be afraid. I should try to just stay calm. And I didn't mean the animal any harm. In fact, I didn't even possess any weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a domestic animal there, a cat named Marcus. And I simply said, Marcus, let's go in the camper. We both decided to go in and close the door. Nothing happened, and the mountain lion finally scattered away.
At its closest, how close was it to you and your camper?
It was 10 feet away.
10 feet away, it clearly saw you, and it was just watching you.
Yes, and I tried with everything in me not to show or exert any fear to the animal, because I was thinking that if that animal sensed fear, that maybe I would get attacked.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. I want to get our DNR specialists to react to your story because, if I'm not mistaken, the mid-90s would have been one of the earliest sightings of a return of a mountain lion to Iowa on the records, if this is confirmed. We have to take a break. I see that our guests are eager to join in and discuss this with Catherine. If you have perhaps seen a mountain lion in Iowa, tell us about it this hour, 1-866-780-9100. Or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle.
Back with the Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. This hour talking about the return of mountain lions to Iowa. A mountain lion shot near Marengo by a deer hunter in December marked the first confirmed sighting of the big cat in Iowa in more than 5 years. With us, DNR specialists Ron Andrews and Joe Wilkinson. Before the break, Catherine, still with us from Messina, relaying a story of being 10 feet away from a mountain lion outside her Airstream camper in Iowa in the mid-90s. Joe, what do you make of this story?
First of all, I commend her for her calmness because I don't know if I would have ever let it get within 10 feet of me like that. But basically, she did the right thing. Remove yourself from the situation. She had a safe place to go right there, and the cat went away and just, you know, wasn't seen again, at least by her. But she had mentioned this was in the mid-90s, and that was before we started getting the somewhat regular reports that we're getting now. I guess maybe, you know, that's where I would just check with Ron to see if, you know, had we gotten any back that long ago, or might this have been a domestic situation where someone had kept a caged animal that had gotten loose, or what he might have known about that.
Okay, Ron, let's go to you. What do you make of Catherine's story here?
Okay, that's a good story, Catherine. We appreciate the information there, and I need to write that one down, maybe talk to you later. But, there is that domestic side of this equation, too, as far as the presence of the mountain lion in the state. Prior to a couple years ago, if you wish to have a mountain lion as a, quote, pet, you could do that if you got it from a legal source. There's flea markets out there that actually sell these things throughout the countryside. And a handful of these animals escape, they're turned loose, whatever. We know of one roadkill prior to the first, what appeared to be modern-day wild mountain lion that ended up on the roadway, killed by an automobile. It was declawed. And so it's possible it could have been one of those animals that escaped or was turned loose. It's also possible, I never say never to anybody, that it was a free-ranging wild mountain lion, although, we, quite frankly, don't have a handle on that particular one. I was still alive at that time. So it's an interesting report, and we do appreciate that report.
Okay, Catherine, thank you very much for that report. Catherine, joining us from Messina, thank you.
Thank you very much. I really enjoy this program. Have a great day.
You too, Catherine. Let's go to Dan in Denison. Hi, Dan. Have you seen a mountain lion?
Yeah, this is Dan. Approximately 5 years ago, I was traveling to my home on Highway 141, and I crested the top of a hill, and as I got to the top of the hill and started heading back down, I saw what I thought was my yellow lab, and as I got closer, I realized it definitely was not. It was definitely much bigger, and the tail was much longer. Anyway, I saw this mountain lion cross in front of me. It started up an embankment and tried to get up a really steep embankment, and the snow was exceptionally deep. I'm probably thinking 2 foot deep anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the mountain lion, I saw it from the side of me then as I'm going past and I'm braking, and it bound and tried to get up to the top of this hill over the top, and it couldn't make it. And it came back down and circled back on the highway and went around the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the next morning, my buddy, who's a good hunter, we went out to the same site, and I showed him. I was all excited. And he found deer tracks in front of where the mountain lion had bound. And you couldn't see the tracks of the mountain lion other than deep in, you know, where it pushed into the snow so deep. But you couldn't identify the paw prints or anything. But it kind of seemed to us like he was chasing the deer, and because the snow was so deep, he was probably very, very hungry. So anyway, I saw it from three different positions, in front and side and back. So
okay. Dan, let's go to Ron, because not saying that your story is not accurate, that you didn't see a mountain lion, but Ron, we do know from the reports, you receive a lot of these reports about every week, don't you?
Receiving up even to the time of this most recent killing there at Marengo, about three a week. We do know that some of them are mistaken identities, and again, I never say never to anyone. If they've seen the animal, I wasn't there, who am I to really question it? But those with validated evidence, there's a lot that do not have that.
What are the key questions, Ron, can I break it? What are the key questions you ask of someone who has a sighting to make sure it was a mountain lion?
We asked them to describe the animal, the time of day. Was there a possibility that any digital photos were taken so that we could look at those on the computer? Any photos of tracks that were taken, any other evidence that would point to the, you know, the validity? Again, I don't question Dan on his situation either, but we need that evidence to back up these things from a scientific perspective before we can actually map them on the map.
Besides yellow Labradors, other animals typically mistaken, I see, are also bobcats, a much smaller cat that are also in Iowa.
In the western states, and I'm going by their experience out there, they claim to 85 to 95% of their reported observations of mountain lions are mistaken identities for either, as you suggest, yellow labs, yellow German shepherds, the bobcat, which is much smaller, and in poor lighting conditions, and maybe even the coloration of a deer at a long distance, fog conditions, late at night, early in the morning, you know, might be mistaken for a mountain lion.
Any behavioral traits that would separate them from these other animals?
Well, yeah, you know, the two cats, bobcats and mountain lion, that might not be much different there. But generally, if you look at and can see these animals long enough, just the sort of the cat-like behaviors that you see in your domestic house cat would occur out there as opposed to your dog. And obviously the deer, too, would be something different.
Right, they move differently.
Yeah, the ability to leap great distances, you know, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
Would all apply there. So there's characteristics that you can discuss when you get these reports on the phone that either sort of make you go toward the validation or not the validations of their actual presence. And we don't say no to anyone if they seen it, even without validation. I've still got to file those too.
Dan, a fascinating story. Thank you for sharing that with us. From Dennis and Dan, thank you.
Okay, thank you much.
Let's go to Beeman. Lori, are you there? Hello, Lori. Yes, you're on the air. Lori, are you hearing me?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air. This is The Exchange.
Bridge, right between Grundy, Marshall, and Tama County. And there's a nature trail, and there's also a park. And in 2005, I came home. It was around dusk, and it was around the 4th of July. And our dog was out on the back deck and had went out in the yard. And I heard a commotion, so I went and looked out the window, and there was something that had her cornered up against the house, and she was really trying to get away from it. And I screamed at it, and it looked up at me, and I thought maybe it was a dog or something else. It looked up at me, and it was a mountain lion.
Hmm.
And I knew the difference between the bobcat or the mountain lion, and I screamed, and she got up to the deck and in the house, and I'm just 100% sure. And so I called the DNR, and he came out. I was concerned because I had because it came up by our deck, and I have grandkids that would go out and play in the yard. It was right by a field and right by this wooded nature trail area, and there had been another sighting up just around the corner in Tama County. There was a pair of mountain lions sighted, and everyone around that area knew that there were mountain lions sighted. And that year there was a report that was put on the newscast about pairs of sightings,
mm-hmm.
in Iowa.
Lori, we're coming up to a break. I want to get a response to that. Thank you for sharing that that story from 2005. We have about a minute before we need to take a break. Again, Ron, what should you do or not do if you encounter a mountain lion?
Usually the mountain lion will sense your presence before you know they're there, and they'll depart the other direction without ever knowing their presence. If you do have those close encounters, the thing to do is just take control of the situation. You're the boss. Look big. Puff up. Scream and holler. Don't run. Don't turn and run. That might trigger a chase like it does if the dog's going to bite you. The worst thing you do is take off running. The dog's going to get you. There's a sort of an inherent thing with mountain lions, too. So there have been as many as 19 people killed by mountain lions in western states, not in Iowa.
This is over many decades.
That's over 150 years.
150 years, mm-hmm. 19 people.
Over about the period of about 25 years, there was some 300 people killed by dogs that are going to bite, too. So,
okay.
So the chances of a mountain lion actually attacking are slim, but not totally impossible.
Okay, Ron, please stay with us. Ron Andrews, Joe Wilkinson with us from the DNR. Lori, thank you very much for sharing that story. If you have seen a mountain lion in Iowa, please share your story this hour. We're going to go away for a few minutes, but then we'd like to come back with more of your firsthand experiences with mountain lions in Iowa. And when we do come back, we'll talk about the mountain lion, which is native to Iowa and disappeared for many decades, how it was run out of the state. Pioneers killed them all, actually, and why they're returning, why we think they're returning, and perhaps how we need to get some legislation to protect the mountain lion. 1-866-780-9100. This is The Exchange. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News over the noon hour. Thank you for joining us. Tomorrow at this time, we talk with University of Iowa emergency doctor Chris Burrish. You may remember we spoke with Dr. Burrish just after the earthquake in Haiti. Burrish traveled to the region to help provide medical relief. Now he's back in Iowa Tomorrow he'll tell us about his experiences in this disaster zone, where he describes the air as thick with suffering. Tomorrow on The Exchange. Today, talking about the return of mountain lions to Iowa. A mountain lion shot near Marengo by a deer hunter in December marked the first confirmed sighting of the big cat in Iowa in more than 5 years. Our guests from the DNR, Ron Andrews and Joe Wilkinson. We'd like to hear from you, especially if you think you've seen a mountain lion in Iowa, had an encounter, a close encounter. Tell us about it. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Or email us, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Before we go back to the phones, I'd like to go to Ron Andrews to tell us about the history of mountain lions in Iowa. They are native to the state. Take us back to the time when they roamed our prairies and then how they disappeared.
Okay, well, when the first settlers reached the eastern shore of the state, there were mountain lions, bobcats, and lynx, all three of the larger cats in Iowa. As they began to settle the state, you know, they brought along their livestock and that sort of thing. And they were concerned, obviously, about these large predators and livestock interaction, as well as some concern for their own safety. So they began taking them out. There were no rules and regulations back in that era. So they took them out to the point, of extirpation, they call it, when they disappear from native grounds, but still are present elsewhere in the countryside.
Mm-hmm. And the last sighting I read, around the time of the Civil War, prior to these recent sightings.
1867. Near Centerville.
And so more recently, when did the DNR first begin to receive reports of mountain lion sightings?
In the late 1990s, early 2000s, we got our first, reports to the point that we thought, well, maybe we ought to say something. Maybe there are some mountain lions that are roaming back into the state, and just make people aware of it. Don't overreact to it. Just make an awareness out there. And then voila, all of a sudden in September 2001, the one was hit on the road near Harlan, Iowa.
Here's an email from an anonymous emailer who says he or she lived in northern Iowa, Cerro Gordo County. In the mid-1990s, I was on my way to work in the wee hours of the morning. I walked by these quarry pits in a city. The path crossed over a big culvert. When I crossed over, I heard a very deep, loud growl coming from this culvert. It made my hair stand up on my neck. I thought it was a big cat of some type. This was in the fall. Needless to say, I got the heck out of there. That's an account by an anonymous emailer. Let's go to Charles calling from West Amana. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Did you have a sign of a mountain lion at any
point?
Well,
no, but I live about 4 miles from where the cat was shot. And I live in West Amana. It was probably halfway between West Amana and Marengo. And earlier last year, we had a horse in West Amana you might have heard of that was it was killed, and first they thought it was stabbed, and then they came to the conclusion it got caught up in barbed wire. Mm-hmm. Well, being so close to where this mountain lion was shot, I got to thinking, well, what would be the possibility that was a mountain lion attack, and they just didn't even think of that as being the cause of death.
Let's get the opinion. Ron, what about indications other than actually sighting a mountain lion that there a positive identification that there was a mountain lion present, a kill like this perhaps?
Yeah, we do have reports like this. Again, I never say never. I'm not there to dispute, because I wasn't present, to dispute this situation or anything like that. We do know, and again, I'm not questioning this gentleman either with the horses, that we do have injuries of horses for other reasons. They get chased by maybe other things. Dogs chase them out, and they do occasionally get tangled up in some sort of metal fence or whatever, and those injuries take place. We've not been able to officially document with, again, positive evidence of any attacks on livestock in Iowa, but I always, say that not there. Who can we say, for sure as 100% that wasn't the case?
Yeah, mountain lions, they are eating something, but are they generally going for smaller prey?
Yeah, I'd say mostly smaller prey, and they do eat deer. They scavenge on bed deer, for that matter. Mostly, I think, younger deer, fawns, and that sort of thing. Rabbits and mice, mammals being the big component of their food habits.
Okay, Charles, thank you for sharing that from West Amana. Let's move a little bit west of West Amana to Colfax. Susan, hi. Go ahead, please.
My husband and I, our family, we live on 21 acres south of Colfax, north of the Wildlife Refuge in Prairie City. And in 2004, it was in April, My parents were at the house, and we were really attentively watching the pond area because I'd had great blue heron in, and I wanted my parents to see it. So we were periodically looking out the window at the pond, which is right around the house, and my mom saw what she thought was a deer drinking out of the pond, and she said, "Susan, I think you have a deer." And we all went to the window, and this thing, it was, you know, similar color to a deer, but it looked up, and then it turned sideways, and it was a mountain lion. It had, you know, this big, thick, long tail. It was just beautiful, and I was actually not scared. I was excited. I thought, wow, we restored prairie, and now we have a native animal. And it kind of hung around the pond for, I don't know, maybe 5-7 minutes maybe, and then just disappeared back into the prairie grass, and it was gone. And we called County Conservation. They came out, and unfortunately there wasn't any way to look at tracks or anything like that. And, of course, I didn't have any camera around to capture it. Mm-hmm. But I also have a question for your expert then, because after that incident, we had some deer fur floating in the pond, and I went around the pond to look at, you know, what had happened, and there was an area where a deer had gotten killed right next to the pond, and there was just fur in a big, like, starboard, just fur everywhere, but the carcass wasn't there. The carcass was up under a cedar tree, and it was it almost looked like things had been, like, branches of the tree had been torn off and some prairie grass pulled, like it was partially mm-hmm. covered. And I've just never seen anything like that.
I get your drift, Susan, that perhaps the mountain lion you're thinking was waiting by the pond for an animal to come for a drink and then spring out. Ron, does this sound plausible to you?
It's plausible, and in fact, mountain lions will cache their prey in that they do drag it somewhere, hide it, cover it, whatever, and come back for a later forage on the animal. Bobcats will do that too, and I'm not suggesting either or in this situation. The way the fur was described there was ripped up pretty badly. That almost suggests, you know, a dog attack, which could happen too, but dogs would not cover up the prey. So that's certainly a plausible possibility.
Susan, thank you for sharing that from Colfax.
Yeah, I have a question, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
I ended up collecting scat from around that because I thought, mm-hmm. you know, but I've never known anywhere to, is there anyone that can analyze that and tell you if your scat is canine or bobcat or cougar or, you know, is that a way to find out?
Let's go to Joe Wilkinson for that question.
Yeah, I'd throw that to Ron as far as to whether it can be investigated, but I just wanted to ask her what time of year this was, what month.
April. It was April. Well, right. It was April that I saw the site when it drank out of the pond, and then it was the following spring. I can't remember if it was late March or early April that I saw the dead deer, but both incidents were, the first one was in April and the second one was either late March or early April. I can't remember.
So, Ron, if someone collects some droppings, you could analyze that to positively identify a mountain lion?
That can be done through DNA testing. The interesting part about this whole thing, though, is usually cats, all cats, house cats, African tigers, all works, cover up their droppings, so they're not that easily seen. If she's seen them fairly readily, it could be something else coming in and foraging on the carcass of the animal, too, and then the droppings, of course, that take place. So,
thank
you. It's a tricky one, but it can be done.
Okay, Susan, thank you very much. Before our next caller, let's go to Joe. Yes, you
and
have
that's
something
why I'd ask, too, the time of year, if she found the what was left of the carcass in March, April. That could have been a winter-killed deer that was dragged up again by perhaps by cat, you know, perhaps by something else. But that's why I wanted to know the time of year, how long it had been there maybe.
If my information is correct, almost all of our surrounding states have laws that protect their mountain lions. The Dakotas, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Kansas, Missouri protect their mountain lions. Why not Iowa, Ron?
Well, I think that's a really good story, too. As Joe said, they disappeared, them and the black bear, both prior to the time there was any sort of wildlife legislation. And I think because people soon realized that this is going to be a rich, fertile environment for crops and agriculture, they probably really didn't want to have that critter back in the state. And so just because of that, they've never been listed as an Iowa wildlife species in the code. There is some interest now to do that. I'm not sure where it'll shake out at.
So there have been bills introduced that haven't made it very far. How far have they made it?
Well, a couple years ago now, there was one bill that actually passed the House. It never got addressed in the Senate, so that turned into a dead bill. But there's some interested people that would like to pursue that again this year or soon. It'll be up to the public. If the public wants to pursue that, I think the DNR agency would certainly not mind seeing those animals given some sort of designation in the Iowa Code. We spent an inordinate amount of time on critters that are not even listed as wildlife species.
So what could you imagine legislation for mountain lions, perhaps modeled after other states' legislation, that would make sense for Iowa?
I think if you give both the black bear and mountain lion fur bearer status in the Iowa Code, there's also rules in there that allow individuals that are concerned about their livestock or even their own safety to take these animals out, to shoot them, whatever, should that concern take place. And fur bearer status would be far and away the best scenario out there to give these guys some sort of protection, but also allow the flexibility to reduce the problem if need be.
If you've just joined us talking with Ron Andrews and Joe Wilkinson of the Iowa DNR about the return of mountain lions to Iowa, just about 10 minutes left in our program. A lot of phone callers want to take part in our show. Let's go to Steve in Eldora. Hi, Steve. You had an encounter of the big furry type? Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air, sir.
Yes. Corroborating the 2005 sighting in Marshall County. This was right on the county line between Hardin and Marshall County on a blacktop going west out of Liscom. And a mountain lion crossed the blacktop, headed from south to north, just about a half a mile west of the bridge across the Iowa River, and stopped in the right-hand ditch as I went by it, and gave me a beautiful view of a crouched mountain lion looking back at me. And it was an awesome view, absolutely awesome. And my son was in our RV this summer at a 45-acre piece of ground that my father has west and north of Eldora, about 7 miles, on Pine Creek. And he saw a mountain lion come into the camp. He viewed it from the window of the RV, and it walked all around the campsite and sort of took stock of everything and then disappeared into the woods. So they're around, that's for sure.
Steve, thanks for that description, that account from Eldora. You know, one of the things we've been hearing all hour from all the people who have purported mountain lion sightings, I see this also in the DNR publication, what you should do when you see a mountain lion, enjoy it. Enjoy it, right?
Enjoy it safely, yeah.
Enjoy it safely, because this you're one of the few people who will witness this.
Yeah, we're finding a few, those few people or a few more this time around. But, first of all, enjoy it, because it's something that virtually everybody else in the state is never going to be able to see.
Ron, are there other notable species that were once native to the state that have similarly disappeared and may return? You mentioned the black bear.
Yeah, the black bear. We're getting a few more reports of black bear, in northeast Iowa in particular, eastern part of the state. I think we could have small numbers up there. Again, human tolerance will be a big factor, and it depends on how legislation may or may not go in terms of anything that we might be able to do to give them some sort of additional small but appropriate protection. The bobcat has come back on its own. That bobcat disappeared completely from the state back in the early 1980s, and to the point now that we have a limited bobcat hunting and trapping season in the southern two tiers, a few more counties down there where there's good numbers. So it's interesting.
I read that there are rumors that the Iowa DNR itself had released mountain lions in the state. You want to comment on that?
I do want to comment on that. I hope we get to that. Now, we could not survive the agricultural politics of doing that. We have not, did not, will not release mountain lions in the state of Iowa. Those rumors are running rampant. They say we put radio transmitters on them so we could key in on them once they were killed and we could arrest folks. Well, we can't do that. That's not even in the regulations. Again, it's a bad rumor, unfortunate rumor. we have a little bit more common sense in this case.
Okay.
To bring this type of critter in the state.
Joe Wilkinson had further comment on
that. Yeah, and Ron could certainly speak to it too. But that one of the areas that crosses people up, I think, is that bobcat versus mountain lion. You know, the bobcat's 30, 40 pound, 25, 30 pound cat. Mountain lions are 90 to 150 pound animals. And we do, the DNR has done some transmitter studies, some electronic surveys with bobcats. And a lot of people will see that, and they, you know, the mountain lion has several different names. Bobcat is not one of them.
Mountain lion, a cougar is a mountain lion.
Cougar, puma, panther, has a lot of different names depending on regionally or what part of the world you're in. And I've talked with people, and I've described a bobcat perfectly to them, and they go, yeah, a mountain lion. So there is that that split there that some people don't make. You know, there has been some research done with radio telemetry with bobcats, and some people take that, you know, add two and two and get six or eight out of it.
Michelle is joining us from Dexter. Hi, Michelle.
I have a mountain lion sighting. Just a section over from where we live, we were coming home one night, and one crossed the road right in front of me. And I almost drove in the ditch. I was trying to keep my headlights on it, and I was going, cat, 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 and so my husband could see it. And when it went to cross the fence, it was like it didn't even have to jump. It was so big, it just stepped over the fence. And so we came home and got flashlights and went back over there, got a neighbor, and tried to read the tracks in the snow. And, of course, there wasn't anything real cool. And we had the DNR officer come out and look, and he did pull some hairs out of the fence. And he got excited and the texture.
You're breaking up a little bit, Michelle. So there were hairs analyzed. Ron, do you know about this case?
Okay, and I'm not sure. Quite frankly, I don't think we've analyzed any actual hair at this crossroads. We've had a few samples turn into us. I'm talking about DNA analysis. We've done some microscopic analysis, and what we've got back so far in the deer livestock, I think one situation was a dog, so we haven't been able to validate that at this crossroads. But that's a possibility should we go to DNA.
Well, the rest of the story is that he sent them in, and several months later, we kept calling him and calling him and asking him about it, and several months later, he brought a copy of a letter to us that said that they didn't have time to test every hair that was sent to them, and after just observing it without doing any real testing, that it was probably a dog hair. Well, he had just, you know, when he came and got the hairs, he had told us how dog it wasn't the right color, you know, for what we might mistake it for, and he bent it in half and said that deer hair bend in half and that this was flexible, and, you know, that he was really excited and told us how far mountain lions could travel in one day, and that it was very possible they were here. And, you know, I think if there's mountain lions in all the surrounding states, it's kind of stupid not to think that they aren't here.
Michelle, thank you very much for that call from Dexter. We want to move on, but very quickly, if a person should safely observe a mountain lion, they should, in any case, contact the DNR. Joe?
Yeah, I mean, we need that proof. You know, we have confirmed sightings, we have unconfirmed sightings, and a lot of them fall into unconfirmed sightings just because you don't have a camera sitting there in the car as you go by, as a lot of these people have described seeing it in your car. But a photographic evidence or a confirmation of a footprint, a track, a paw print, and then some of the scat as well as, you know, that we've had the confirmation through the killings, you know, a couple hit by cars and several shot by farmers or landowners or hunters in the last few years. You need that confirmation before you can call it a confirmed sighting.
Okay, but before we leave this hour, I want to, of course, address Groundhog Day. Today, Punxsutawney Phil, America's most famous rodent prognosticator, he saw his shadow. And that signals, I guess, six more weeks of winter.
And for Ron, that's kind of a national holiday. He's our fur bearer biologist.
This is a big day for you, Ron?
You bet it is a big day. I never forget Groundhog Day. I can't believe they even considered it a federal holiday, you know, years and years ago. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. And it's a German tradition, come over when the settlers come over. And they took hold there at Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, so.
Uh-huh. So that the origins date back to the old world, to Germany. Why would we say that a groundhog had any more prognostication powers than a bear?
Well, actually, it's interesting. In the old country, bear and marmots were the origination of that, and badger, too, for that matter, depending on where you're at in the old country. And somehow or other, it seemed that when the settlers got over here, the old proverbial groundhog, also known as the woodchuck, become the one that prognosticates the weather 6 more weeks of winter. Either way, no, I'm not going to say that. They say it's a tree of shadow, which it has here anyway, 6 more weeks of winter. But if you look at the calendar, you know there's about 46 more days, which would be about 6 more weeks.
What can you say about the groundhog or woodchuck population in Iowa? Are there a lot of them around?
Yeah, there are. They're doing well. We get a lot of complaints. They're herbivores, and they like garden crops. They dig underneath foundations. They like to dig like crazy. So it is a frustration to some people to have their presence. They're kind of neat animals, too. Largest squirrel, member of the squirrel family.
Is there a groundhog hunting season in Iowa?
There actually is. They hibernate in the wintertime. We open up the season year-round, or not year-round, but each year, June 15th to November 1. And they're all edible. Years ago, they used to use the fur. They don't necessarily use the fur much right now.
Mm-hmm. What would you put that in, a stew or something like that?
I think the more ingredients you put in that stew, the better they're going to taste.
Okay. We're going to leave it there. Ron Andrews of the DNR, thank you for joining us by phone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron, also in our Iowa City studio of Iowa Public Radio. Joe Wilkinson, thank you very much. A quick word, did you want to say?
No, I just appreciate coming in, and I just wanted to tell Ron happy Groundhog Day.
Happy Groundhog Day to Ron and to all of our listeners. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for all the great calls with the mountain lion sightings. Our program today produced by Jeff Schmidt and Catherine Perkins. Producer assistant Christoph Mai. Technical support from Dennis Reese. Podcasting available and on-demand audio. If you would like to hear the entire program, perhaps you only caught a part of it, go to iowapublicradio.org. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us, and happy Groundhog Day once again.